cue for Thursday in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Jesus was a friend for
sinners. On this Thursday edition of Sovereign Grace Today, Michael Goins will continue his ongoing series on the attributes of God. This is indeed a thrilling study. In fact, the study of God, a discipline known as theology proper, is the very bedrock of faith. As the various parts of the biblical portrait of God's character are put together in our understanding, it necessarily produces a greater confidence in Him. As we learned yesterday, you can trust a God who is sovereign, who rules over all things with absolute and invincible authority. Today, let's add yet another brushstroke to the emerging picture. You can trust a God who is omniscient, who has perfect knowledge of all things. Michael's message today is entitled, The Wisdom of God.
Thanks, Ken. My text today is Romans chapter 16, verse number 27. Now, this is the last verse in Paul's epistle to the Romans. And listen to his closing benediction. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. It's interesting to me that when the apostle chooses one attribute in this verse to describe God, he calls him God only wise. Now, that kind of language has encountered us already this week. On Monday, as we talked about the eternity of God, we noted a verse from 1 Timothy 6:16 where we read that God only hath immortality. And then when we talked about the holiness of God, we looked at several verses in which we heard the language that God only is holy. And now we see that he is called God only wise. Now, whenever the Bible uses language like this, that God is only wise, that he is only holy, that he only hath immortality, it is speaking of the fact that these characteristics find their source and origin in God, that these things are part of his essential nature. They are part of the divine essence, and all holiness comes from the God who only is holy, that is, who is holy in himself. All life comes from the God who only hath immortality, that is, God never began to exist, but life is essential to his nature. He is life itself and the source and fountainhead of it. And all wisdom comes from the God who Paul says is God only wise. He is the source and origin of all wisdom. The late A.W. Tozer says that this fact that God is infinitely wise is the root of all truth. He writes that God is wise in himself teaches us that all the shining wisdom of men or angels is but a reflection of his uncreated wisdom. You see, all of the advances of science, all of the technological achievements, all of the information and knowledge that men have gathered in human history comes from the God who is the storehouse of all wisdom, for he alone is the origin of wisdom. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul says that he is the only wise. The first major point that I want to make as we discuss this great truth of the wisdom of God is the fact that the Bible asserts that God is all wise and all knowing. Now, the theological term for this is the omniscience of God. It comes from two root words, the prefix omni, meaning all. Science speaks of knowledge. To say that God has omniscience, or he is omniscient, is to say that he is all-knowing. Turn with me to the 139th Psalm. Listen to the first six verses. David writes, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Now, it is as if David sees his life under a divine magnifying glass. The Lord has scrutinized every nook and cranny of David's life, and David says, Lord, you know me. That is, the Lord knows all about me. He knows more about you and me, my friend, than we know about ourselves. David says, "Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." Now, in six verses here, David asserts that God is all-knowing and all-wise. He says, "The Lord knows when I sit down and when I rise up. He even understands my thoughts from afar." Isn't that an eye-opening truth? That God even knows what we think, and he knows our thoughts before we think them. He says, "The Lord, you're acquainted with all my ways." He says, "Even what I say, there's not a word in my tongue, but what the Lord knows it altogether. He surrounds me. He compasses my path. He besets me behind and before and lays his hand upon me. He's all around me." And David says, this kind of knowledge is something that I cannot identify with. He says, it is high. I cannot attain unto it. It is too wonderful for me. The fact is, the Lord not only knew all about David, but he knows all about me, and he knows all about you, and he knows all about everything. Holy Scripture affirms that the wisdom of God is inexhaustible. Listen to the 40th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy and the 26th verse. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." And then he goes on down to say in the 28th verse that this everlasting God, who is the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, the wisdom of God can never be exhausted. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God." How Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 teaches the same thing. "My ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The fact is, my friends, we can never begin to scratch the surface of the inexhaustible and infinite wisdom of God. His wisdom is infallible. His wisdom is infinite. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." He never has to agonize over a decision. He never has to rethink his plan of attack. The Lord never says, "Well, I didn't consider all of the options." No, my friends, his understanding is infinite. In fact, I like an expression in Ephesians 3:10 where it speaks of the manifold wisdom of God. The word manifold means many-colored, variegated. There are many facets and many different hues to the wisdom of God. In fact, it is so vast, so immense, and so infinite that the best way we can describe it is manifold. Now, where do we see the wisdom of God displayed? The answer to that question is we see it first in creation. Psalm 104 verse 24 says, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." I'll tell you, scientists have spent entire lifetimes, and various disciplines in the scientific community have spent the lifetimes of many different men and women trying to examine the most simple of organisms, and yet they would have to say these are but parts of God's ways, and how little do we understand of him. The fact is, my friends, the earth is full of God's riches because he made them all in wisdom. Look at the variety in nature. Look at the different types of flowers. Even in the rose family, there are many different kinds of roses, different colors, different scents or aromas. Think of the different types of fish in the ocean, all of the colors, shapes, sizes. Think of the different types of landscape. And I'll tell you, all of this is a testimony to the manifold wisdom of God. Could you have thought of all of those different forms of expression? Could I have possibly imagined the different types of animals? What about a two-toed sloth and a warthog and a platypus and some of these different animals that somebody once said prove that the Lord has a sense of humor? Yes, my friends, there's a variety, amazing variety in the design of natural creation. How manifold are thy works, the psalmist says as he praises God, in wisdom hast thou made them all. I'll tell you, we see the wisdom of God not only in the natural creation, we see it in his overruling providence. Do you remember the story of Joseph? Joseph said in Genesis 45, verse 7, that the Lord sent me before you to preserve life. His brothers were guilt-ridden over the way that they had treated their younger sibling. They had put him down in a pit and were going to kill him, but his brother Judah stood up to plead his case, and his life was spared. He was eventually sold to some Midianite traders, and they took him to Egypt, where God was taking care of Joseph, and now many years later, his brethren have forgotten all about him. But they encounter him again. He knows them, but they don't recognize him. And when he makes himself known to them, his brothers are afraid he will kill them. But Joseph is able to see the hand of God overruling even the wicked actions of men. And he says, the Lord sent me before you to preserve life. He knew that there would be these years of famine, and the Lord sent me ahead of you. He says in Genesis 50:21, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, the Lord is so wise, he can even take the actions that men intend to be evil and can turn them to the good of his children and the greater glory of his name. He can bring good out of evil. That's wisdom. And then we see the wisdom of God further in his faithful care of his own. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I love this verse. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to care for his own. He's faithful to do that. And yes, indeed, my friends, two examples of that principle are in the context there. Noah is one. In verse number 5, we read that God spared Noah and his family. Yes, God knew how to deliver Noah out of the trials of the day. And then Lot is the other, verse number 7. God delivered just or righteous Lot from the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah. My friends, I'll tell you, the Lord still knows how to deliver his own from temptation. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30 is another passage that teaches us that God's wisdom is demonstrated in the faithful care of his own. He says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Man can never concoct a scheme that will thwart God's plans or purposes. In other words, you can trust him in the dark. The wise God has said, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in the paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. That's how wise God is. But I dare say, even though the wisdom of God, his inexhaustible and infinite wisdom, is seen in creation, in his overruling providence, and in his faithful care of his own, it is seen most vividly in the plan of redemption. The question inherent to the gospel is, how can a holy and just God fulfill the demands of his own holy law and at the same time declare sinners to be righteous? My friends, the only way that mercy and truth can meet together is if God becomes man and takes the place of his people. Indeed, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which say that you can trust a God who is wise in and of himself.